everybody, and welcome to Back Issues, the only podcast older than Vandal Savage. I'm your host, Jason. With me tonight is Jamie.
What's up?
And our guest. First up is the guy that makes all this shit possible. Blame him, not
me. It's all my fault.
Yep, that'd be Josh.
Every bit of this is all my fault.
Yep. And then we have our local drunkard, Rotten Rye.
How's it going? Like Jason said, I blame Josh.
We all blame Josh. Can put a complaint in the claim box, but I...
He doesn't check them, so it doesn't matter.
Well, a few weeks ago, we did an episode on the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. Tonight is going to be the counterpart, which is Marvel Cinematic Universe on TV. That'd be including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter. I guess we could say a little about the upcoming Marvel's Most Wanted. And then Daredevil Seasons 1 and 2.
Did you want to touch on the fact that somebody else just recently got their show announced? Well, their series
announced. Yeah, we're getting to that. Daredevil Seasons 1 and 2, Jessica Jones, and as Rai was pointing out, the upcoming Punisher.
Can't wait.
Let's get this started out chronological order. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was first, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
And that was, what, right after Avengers?
Right after the Avengers. As is typical of Joss Whedon, he killed off Coulson because he loves killing off with the goofy guy in every movie he does. Fans of Coulson, and Coulson had a lot of fans, did not take this well, and basically started a...
Coulson!
Demonstration to make it come back to life called Coulson Lives. And the result of that was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. For the premise, basically this is... It starts out with Coulson being brought back from the dead and given his own team to work with.
How far are we allowed to go into spoilers with this?
This show is pretty much spoilers.
Project Tahiti full on out here.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Are we allowed to go like full on Project Tahiti right here? Because
we're gonna go full spoilers here. Because right up to the.
Well, it's a good thing I don't care because I've only seen like two episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I liked what I saw. Well, I just got distracted from watching more.
The thing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is it did start out very slow, and there was a lot of early episodes that did a lot having to do with character development.
Mm-hmm.
But what it did really pick up was one right about the Hydra invasion, tied directly into the storyline of
Winter Soldier.
Yes. Yep. Where basically Hydra was lying in wait within S.H.I.E.L.D. and took over the from within.
Yeah, and then that led into some of the movies, I know.
That's kind of been the thing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. every single season is that it's led up to every movie. Well, not every movie, but the second season led up to Age of Ultron, and this third season coming up here is going to lead into Civil War. There's some complaints that from some people that Civil War doesn't make sense. If you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I'm actually curious of that because I've kind of
good and bad.
I have laid off this last season after they went to the mysterious planet and came back. I haven't watched.
Well, it's the same season, but the thing is, we're gonna go in chronological order. The first first 12 episodes are pretty much backstory. You get it, or and character development. You get a little backstory into Coulson. You get a little bit into everybody. Agent May, Agent Ward, Agent Fitzsimmons, and
With Russo brothers being in charge of Infinity Wars, are they gonna tie in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finally, or are they kind of gonna push that to the side?
We don't know. I'll get to that momentarily, and then they bring in Skye, who's a new agent, and she starts out as a hacker, which cheesed people off a little bit, but then she got major character development in season two, which kind of rectified that.
And she's an amazing character now.
The thing is, as it got into season two, it was actually revealed that she's Quake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's an awesome character.
Interesting.
Yeah, she really has developed well. Actually, and that's the thing is a lot of people complained about early in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was that basically it was like no one in the show was from the comic books, except for Nick Fury, who made like
one
very
cameo.
Sporadic appearances. Yeah, he made two cameos in the first season and hasn't really been seen since. Now this, like I said, this did get rectified in the second season. Well, first of all, there were canon characters showing up. Figuria Hand, who got murdered in the first season, and then Garrett, who turned out to be the bad guy, played by Bill Paxton, like wonderfully by Bill. Is there anything that Bill Paxton is in that he doesn't just steal the movie?
I really like him.
He's
for about a decade, I've really liked him.
He's my favorite
really Mondo material.
He really did just steal the season one. Absolutely.
He's the perfect bad guy, honestly. Like, he's one of the people where, like, every time he comes back, you kind of like, oh, you son of a bitch. But it's like, all right, nope, you can stick around.
Nah. Anyway, as this goes on, in season two, we got Mockingbird, and then Mac and... Fuck. Sorry, I can't remember the guy's name all of a sudden. Got played by Nick Blood. I'm sorry, it's Lance Hunter. Did I cut out? How much did you lose?
Okay,
memory?
1, 2, 3. Regular
so
conversation.
Sorry.
Yeah, start regular conversation now. Just make like a nice and audible, and then Jason went over to edit.
Okay, that's fine. Anyway, it's basically they bring in Mockingbird and Mac, Alphonse McKenzie and Lance Hunter, and the second. It really starts to build up to Civil War in the second season, although the buildup is very slow, and it does involve rival factions of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then we get about halfway through. First of all, for the second season they brought in Mr. Hyde as one of the villains, and that guy killed Kyle MacLachlan.
For a TV show, it's not afraid to kill off people.
Trust me. One of the things going on is they already announced recently that they're going to kill another person off at the end of this season. I'll get to that in a few minutes because as this goes into season three, you were mentioning the first half of season three. Involved at the end of season two, Simmons got sucked into that black portal.
What do they call it? It was some obelisk looking,
monument thing. It turned out to be a portal.
Whoa,
kind of hard,
yeah.
He is light lighting up, but he's not making noise.
Yeah, what the hell happened to her?
I don't know.
Okay. Alright, give us another second or two of silence. I don't know where to cut off. Alright, two.
And, so she ends up... what they find out after about a few weeks of this is that she ends up halfway across the galaxy on a barren planet with this astronaut who got sent in to find out what was there. As it turns out, this place is something that had something that Hydra was worshiping as a god, and then they send Hydra, who's being run by Ward now, and then this other guy, Gideon Malak, they kidnap after Fitz finds a way to rescue Simmons, Hydra kidnaps him and forces him to Ward forces him to go under the portal. And what they find there is that the alien that's over there is Hive from the comic books. And Coulson follows him over. He actually killed off Ward. And I think that was kind of shocking in all because they had gone to such lengths to play out this whole feud between Coulson and Ward, but they didn't permanently kill off Ward. They had Hive infect him, and he became Hive.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens in the last? Now the thing is that they're building up to Civil War right now, and you know how Inhumans is basically replacing X-Men in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
coming out now because they're starting to build their Quake's little superhuman team. They got this guy from the season two. The guy from season two, she fell in love with. His name is Lincoln.
Yeah.
And it's yeah,
Lincoln Campbell.
Lincoln Campbell, yeah, thank you. I'm sorry.
Played by Luke Mitchell.
Yeah, yeah, he does a really good job. And then they found the first guy to come across as a gay guy, which is great for the. A lot of people are singing the praises of being gay, but I gotta look past it and say this guy's just a cool character on his own, you know.
And of course, you can't forget about Andrew Gardner, played by Blair Underwood.
Oh yeah, Lash. Yeah, Blair. Yeah, he's another villain that's coming into play right now. He escaped.
I really need to go back and watch these episodes.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, it's really good now.
It's really, really good. I started binge watching the last 8 episodes. I was only gonna watch half, but then I ended up watching the whole thing because it just hooked me so well. The writing is so good.
The only reason I didn't get hooked at first was because like I was really interested in the first couple episodes I watched, but there was only a couple episodes when I checked it out, and I'm like, okay, I got other things I'm watching, so that got put on the back burner, and now there's freaking 3 seasons.
So we get to right where we are right now. Hive apparently has the ability to brainwash in humans, and he's brainwashed Sky or Daisy, as she's now called, and. They're leading up to something big happening at the end of the season that's going to end up with somebody dying. Like I said at the beginning, Whedon loves killing off the goofy guy, and I got a feeling he's going to kill off the gay guy, because he's already killed off Antoine Triplett, who wasn't really the goofy guy, but he was kind of the cool guy who came in to replace Ward after Ward turned evil. And, you know, this is like a trademark of Whedon, and I can't. But I think he's gonna kill off the gay guy. And I think that's kind of sad, not because he's a gay guy, because he's cool. He's a cool character on his own right, you know.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny. You're gonna give that to BJ. I would say Nick Blood's got to be the cool guy that came back and replaced Grant Ward. Honestly,
and well, the thing is. The thing is, he and they've already set up Marvel's Most Wanted by having him and Mockingbird and Lance Hunter leave the team.
Mockingbird.
Yeah, Bobby Morse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they don't call her Mockingbird on the show, but that's who she is.
Okay.
And, yeah, because she's got the little heavy sticks with the shock sticks and the fighting style.
But that's who that is, then.
Yep. Yeah. And so they've set that up by having them get involved, in an international incident, unwittingly, and then they drop out of the team. And so there's a lot of twists and turns going in this, and it really does cook you. It really does. It absolutely has absolutely hooked me.
Oh yeah, it's a great show. It's one of the things where even at the very beginning, I had kind of a hard time coming to grips with everything and grabbing it and letting it kind of take me. But as soon as it hits the
right about the time the Hydra moment, the big moment's like, oh shit, what the fuck?
Yeah, as soon as that fucking flip switch, wow, dude, wow, I remember really
everything
that
just yeah,
like the way you're describing it, it sounds like Fringe in a way where it's like the first season was just kind of, and then it like gets you kind of hooked a little bit, but then the second season just really takes off, and from there it really does,
and then like from that it just kind of like just the pedals just are going, then it's going full speed, and you're just along for the ride at that point. It's kind of hard to actually go off season with this show.
It is. I had some trouble getting back off with a mid-season break.
I've had to talk people into going back into the show because they would watch a few episodes, but like, oh man, it just didn't do it for me. And I was like, oh no, man, look, go back, finish that season, and then tell me that I didn't do it for you. If you can tell me after the first season that you got nothing out of it, I will believe you, and I'll be like, all right, fine, maybe it's just not for you. But if you can't, you can't do the shields, the Hydra stuff. That alone hooked me back. It was like, okay,
yeah,
I'm in.
That twist just that was just a spark that set the whole show on overdrive.
And like you were saying, Jamie, it ties in perfectly with Winter Soldier.
And then they did it again in
with the Inhumans and yep.
And they're doing it again with Civil War. And I had some people come out and say to me like, Civil War doesn't make sense because it's just five or six heroes fighting each other, but this is actually going to go in deeper than that because of the whole thing with the Inhuman breakout.
And not just that, but with people don't realize that it's not like these new Avengers have just been new Avengers for a fucking week. They've been new Avengers for a few years, apparently.
Yeah.
So, but fuck, what was I going to say? With Age of Ultron, I remember sitting there and watching the episode right beforehand about, what the hell is her name? Girl with the spikes over their face.
Reyna.
I remember her sitting here predicting the future, talking about metal men running over the land and shit like that. And I was like, oh my god, she's talking about Age of Ultron. And I went and watched a bootleg version of the movie right then after watching that episode, because I couldn't go another day without watching that movie.
Yeah.
Back issues is not...
and then you bought it right afterwards. Like, as soon as you got paid, you went and bought it.
Yeah, you absolutely bought it right after.
I legitimately own it right now, actually, yeah, so... But yeah, at the time, I couldn't, so... I was excited. It worked. The marketing worked, guys, and you won.
you won. You all won.
And this really... And you know, not only that, in one of the later episodes, they actually started referencing Daredevil with news blurbs talking about Hell's Kitchen and the gang war.
And Daredevil does the same in a couple of aspects, too, so...
Yeah, because, as you told... I haven't watched Daredevil yet, I've been meaning to, but what you told me is that the Hell's Kitchen gang situation is was spurred by the invasion of New York.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I believe in one point, and I believe season one of Daredevil, they're having a meeting in a garage park, and they bring up about how Daredevil's taking them out one by one. And the guy who's kind of in charge is like, I could understand if he had maybe a magic hammer or a metal suit, but he doesn't. And it's kind of this like subtle little ha-ha nod to Thor and Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of interconnectivity.
Yeah. And I can't wait to I don't know, is Sony completely dissolved the Spider-Man rights? Because...
No, they're not dissolving, but they're still tied in it, but they're just playing ball now.
Well, the thing is, if they do play ball, you've got a lot of possibilities to work with, because Daredevil and Spider-Man have a very deep history together in the comic books, so you've got a lot of fertile ground to work with there.
It's the one thing that everybody I see like on Facebook asking for, and I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I kind of hope, and I imagine you guys have already talked about this, and I'm kind of sorry for bringing this up, but it's just... probably been already talked about in another episode, but the X-Men universe kind of apocalypse age coming to an end after this year. I don't know. I'm kind of curious. Do you guys think that Fox has another chance to go to the three movies with success, or do you think they're going to have to play ball with Marvel after this?
I don't think that. I think after Daredevil, I think maybe if Daredevil hadn't been the big hit that it was, they might.
You mean Deadpool?
But I think they're gonna. Deadpool hadn't been the big hit that it was, then they might. I think they got the. I think Deadpool was a spark they needed to get themselves back in form. And if it continues with Age of Apocalypse, you're gonna see more. But if there's one thing I noticed in Deadpool, there were a lot of subtle nods to the MCU in there.
Oh yeah,
And then the least of which was the fact that they were fighting on the final scene takes place on the crash telecarrier.
Well, it's one of the things where he literally makes a stab at the whole, like, what are you expecting to see? Or what was it, Samuel Jackson in a black eye patch? Like,
yeah.
But
it's one of the things where I think more than Daredevil and Spider-Man tying together, I think a lot of people want to see that Deadpool-Spider-Man tie together.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
to get this back on track, though, because that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, that really could be a whole other episode, you're right.
Well, yeah, we should get into the meat of Daredevil now.
Well, no, I was going to say Agent Carter.
Agent Carter.
I still need to watch that one too.
Yeah, so this I is still haven't
you talking
watched
until we get
now,
to Netflix.
I have not watched the second season, only the first. Has anyone seen the second season yet?
Not yet. I've literally only watched the first. I was just.
I wanted to see it, but then my TV got broken in December, so.
I just haven't like sat down and decided to go on it. Like, it's one of the things where like I really enjoyed the first season.
Yeah, the first season was really good, and then you had a lot of tie-ins to Iron Man and Captain America in particular.
And see, that's and what I'm anxious to see is I want to see who she ends up being with, because I can't imagine her being without anybody.
I think she's gonna end up with Sousa, the guy with the cane. You know, just you know, that's just a shot in the dark, I think.
That's possible.
Yeah. But yeah, one of the other things, just to think, the weapon that they used in the first, and that got used a lot in the first season of Agent Carter, you know, the implosion bomb, that actually ended up being used in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. by a group of this like by an anti-inhuman group to blow up some lab, or rather implode a lab.
Huh.
So I thought that was pretty cool that they had that tie-in. And I've heard rumors, I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but there's going to be some point, some kind of time-based storyline where Agent Carter and Agent Coulson will run into each other. And if that's true, that would be very interesting.
Well, I mean, it's one of those that does, on one hand, sound like fan fiction material.
It's possible. Like I said, this is just a rumor.
But on the other hand, it is MCU.
I was going to say, if you guys remember Ant-Man, it wasn't Peggy Carter in the very beginning of that talking to Hank Pym, and I believe it was father?
I haven't seen Ant-Man yet. I've been meaning to.
I have. I'm trying. Yeah, I'm remembering a scene like that. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I don't remember.
If they're going to start getting to a point where they're like turning the cranks on S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything like that, like I'm all for it, but you got to have these subtle nods. Here's Hank Pym, the original Ant-Man. Here's, you know, Tony Stark's dad. Here is fucking this person. But for all we know, they could actually totally recreate, or not even recreate, but totally use that scene right out this fucking movie for the TV show and say, bam, there you go. You know?
Well, here's
the conversation that happened right after that.
Yeah, well, I think one thing that they've gone to a very lengths to point out is that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is not the same universe as 616 or Ultimate Universe or any of the others. It's a separate universe.
And that was the best thing that they could.
Yeah, because it did give them the leniency to rewrite a few things that needed to be rewritten.
It's one of the things where even in Civil War alone, they couldn't go full force with it because all the other rights and bullshit being with companies and... Like, you kind of had to work with what you had.
That, and you'd have to include characters from the TV shows.
Yeah.
That, and from like, what I'm hearing about Civil War, it's just as, the movie, it's just as much a, you know, Captain America movie. Yeah, it's like equal parts.
I've heard people calling it basically Avengers 2.5.
Yeah, yeah.
I keep seeing, various things, like, I don't know, there's a rumor going around right now talking about how I actually called him Tony Stark because he actually plays the part so well. Robert Downey Jr. is actually open to doing an Iron Man 4.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, he's got this...
He's the Batman of that universe.
Iron Man has literally brought his career back from its demise.
And from what I hear, just about everybody is like, oh yeah, we would love to do these characters. Like, I know Chris Hemsworth is like, yes. Always is every time they ask me, I will be there.
I remember that they made a joke at one Comic Con about him about Thor becoming a woman, and he's the one who responded, like, I don't know, I think it'd be kind of a challenging role to play, but I'm interested in it. Let's do it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't think we've got to worry too much because I don't think the new Ghostbusters is going anywhere, so I don't think we have to worry about him getting drawn away by that.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's just go ahead and stay on superhero. But yeah, like, as far as Daredevil goes, man, like, I absolutely love the show. From the very first season, man, they just, the fights being gritty and actually, like, looking raw. Like, it almost looked like they just said, here you go, fucking him up. Like, dude, don't stop. Just fight each other. It looks fucking phenomenal. Like, it really looks like these actors are, like, beating the fuck out of each other and getting hurt. Whoever directs and choreographs these fight scenes, fucking bravo, man.
Yeah, it's very intense. And it's like, they don't do it just once, either. It's not like a one-trick pony. All their fight scenes feel very crisp.
You know, At that same notion, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pulls off the same thing. Their fight scenes are so well choreographed.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's one, I believe it was the last episode of season 2 or 3. I don't know. Quake, they go under, they raid a Hydra compound, and this is back. She's Quake still at the time.
Uh-huh.
But this is her first field op as Quake, and she goes in, and she's, like, using her abilities and a gun. And she's, like, hitting people with her Quake ability and then shooting them. And it's just, like, the fluidity of her abilities and her... wow.
Yeah. I'll tell you, but there's only one thing that I really don't like about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I wish they'd change. Get rid of Patton Oswalt.
I don't mind Patton. I kind of think his whole character being the joke of the whole thing is kind of funny. So,
okay, yeah, but you know, one time, and that joke is used up completely. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but every time he shows up, he was like, "I can get you a lanyard." It cracks me the fuck up. I gotta.
It basically, you know, I think people's opinion on the character probably just is measured really on is how much preference. You think of the actor, and I don't really like the guy. So
yeah, it really does come down to a preference thing. I mean.
But that's another thing that was pretty. Another, if I can pick up another point real quick, is that. Oh Jesus! I'm sorry. Brett Dalton got criticized really early on because they thought he was stale, and then after the Richard Trader, you know, the people said, "Wow, this guy can really act," and it's really true. And you know what? The fact that him shifting from Grant Ward to the Hive character has been even creepier. 1,000 times creepier. I give this guy credit. He really just is nailing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but yeah, it's all good. But yeah, Josh, Daredevil, season 1.
Ooh, yeah. I liked it
how
so
good,
much.
How good was Vince D'Onofrio?
Amazing. Like, there is no Ben Affleck now.
Yeah.
Thankfully for that.
And Charlie Cox does make a believable blind guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you watch his eyes, how he focuses on
stuff. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, every aspect of that, like, it is directed so well. Let me look at the director real quick, because I've never actually looked at who directed that, because whoever directs that is amazing.
Yeah.
God, now I want to watch this so bad.
And it's a very good cast. You got, you know, Matt Murdock.
Everybody works real well together.
Foggy Nelson, played by Eldon Henson. He does a really good job. He kind of works also as the almost comedic side of the show. Because he does have a more lighthearted demeanor to him.
It's season 1.
Yeah,
season two gets fucking real, man.
Oh yeah, but
like real as in like, you know, fucking friendly tensions are legitimately pulled by.
Well, season 1, the premise is after the Chitauri invasion, Hell's Kitchen is being shifted under new criminal management. Wilson Fisk, and they never call him the Kingpin. Wilson Fisk.
That does seem to be a thing among these shows, is that they rarely call the characters by their comic book names.
Yeah, like, it really, we'll talk about that in season 2, but especially with season 1 characters, they're never just outright like, this is this person. There might be, like, he's still in season 2, Devil of Hell's Kitchen.
And that translates to the movies as well, because you never, about the only character that really gets mentioned by name is Thor. Constantly, because he really has no other name. They don't really use Donald Blake persona ever in the Thor movies.
Because when they're talking amongst themselves, why would they even?
Right.
Yeah. But I said,
it's just cast it so well, and the way that I really enjoy, and this translates over to Jessica Jones and other Netflix Marvel properties, in that they layer in an origin story and a kind of season, you know, a season 2, what would be a season 2 story. They interweave those two so great with like some flashbacks, and they focus back at just the right points, and they give you just enough to be feeling about these characters. And like, even, you know, Fisk,
Like, holy shit.
Yeah, he had it rough. His mom was freaking nuts.
I gotta come, you know, disclaimer that I love comic book storylines, but I just haven't read a lot of comic books. That's why you don't see me on the show a lot here. So, like, I kind of come at this for a moment. It's like, I knew the very bare basics when coming into some of these, like, Daredevil and Jessica Jones and all that stuff. And Netflix is doing such a good job. Holy shit.
Well, I think that's one of the brilliant things about
MCU. This is some
of
the best TV. This is some of the best TV ever.
And a lot of the other tie-in stuff that's been going on throughout the years, it gets you interested in the characters, and then you want to go back and read the comics and find out more about them. You know, I think, you know, even with the 90s, the 90s X-Men and the 90s Spider-Man, I thought those were pretty good, too. And that gave enough to give me the same kind of desire to go back and learn about the characters. And I did get into some comic books at the time. My knowledge is not as, breadth as Jason's is, but yeah, I've done a lot of research, let's just say. But I could even take that back to the 60s Spider-Man, really. That was like the first, one of my first superheroes, you know? That along with Batman.
Something good about Daredevil and all the Netflix Marvel stuff in general is that they're pretty much set up as like these extended movies, almost, in the way that the episodes go and the structure is.
They all tie together.
It's very, very conductive to binge watching, and they're just so... cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect.
It's one of the things, I don't know if anybody else here has done it, but every time you hear a name mentioned, Google it, because chances are they're tied into the Marvel Universe somewhere. But their character, you're just not being told in the show who they are.
Yeah, which is a smart way, because there was something I read from the creator of Daredevil, and he was saying, like, you know, we want to put in these different crossover things, but we don't want to be blatant with it. We don't want to be like, oh, hey, there's so-and-so walking down the street. You know, but if you go, like, if you see the hospital, the same hospital that Jessica Jones goes to is the same hospital Daredevil goes to.
And she runs into Claire Temple.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jamie, where you just talk about how you do researches. Jamie... meet Jason. This is my research assistant. Anytime I have questions about this stuff, I go to him. Now, is Claire actually part of the comics, or is she
she's an older character.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you exactly when, but she was around at one...
You know, that's very interesting, previous though, at that, because that's really what happened with Peggy Carter, was she was kind of an obscure character in Marvel, in the history of Captain America, and they really just managed to make her into this huge, hugely popular character enough to get her own series.
Yeah, I was kind of curious as that. What exactly did it to her? Because she was only ever really brought up in... the first Avengers, even in Winter Soldier, she was just kind of had a small cameo.
She went over really big in the first Captain America movie, and I think Marvel caught on that and think, hey, maybe we can do something with this, and they did, and really the first season of Agent Carter was just phenomenal.
Oh yeah, it's great. It's literally like an '80s kind of cop show. It's great.
Also a spy thriller kind of, you know.
Yeah,
I really need to check that out then.
Hey, Josh, here's one for you. Another little connection with the Netflix series. Claire Temple originally showed up in Luke Cage.
Back
in 1972, Luke Cage, Hero for Hire number 2.
But she's already tied into his universe through Jessica Jones.
Through Jessica Jones, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to see Luke Cage soon enough.
And then, on the other hand, you also have Jenny Hogarth showing up in Daredevil season 2.
Mm-hmm.
To offer Foggy that job. So Netflix has really gotten their shit together with this and said, we want an interconnecting almost mini universe, like a little microcosm.
Yeah, like they're creating a cinematic episodic universe with theirs. And something that I really also like is that rightfully so, Marvel movies have been called kind of a little bright sometimes. they're a little happy and colorful.
Whereas Netflix that series is not have the managed case. To ground it the fuck out and make it dark and gritty.
These are dark, gritty. It's hard to call the comic book show realistic, but there's a lot of there's real gritty shit going on in here.
Yeah. But if you're at all familiar with Daredevil, he is kind of the darker and grittier Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very tragic comic.
Mm-hmm. He tries to pretty much find the fine line of pretty much
which is why Punisher is so well paired with him.
Yeah.
Well, before we get to all of that, I think we need to give Jessica Jones a little bit of time.
All right.
Oh yes, yes.
Because that brought up something.
I actually like Jessica Jones better than season one of Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I was the exact opposite. Jessica Jones took me a while to finish. I finally did wrap it up, but it was a grind to get through. I'll be honest.
I think it was the whole like her being damaged and the whole like she was literally mind fucked. Mind raped and having to cope with that shit while trying to deal with other people's shit. It is just and fucking
and to me a lot of it has to be like
name now. He did so good though with the villain.
Oh my god, I can't remember.
David Tennant. So great. Fucking good. Oh, I hated him. I hated the character, and that was a sign he was doing so good because I fucking wanted to stab him in the face.
Dude, oh my god, that ending. That ending was
that beautiful. Ending. But the thing I really like about Jessica Jones is Jessica Jones is a character with superpowers. But they're used very sparingly in the show.
Well, it's one of the things where it's one of the things where she doesn't know what it means to be a hero. She doesn't qualify herself on the League of the Avengers. She looks at herself as being this person.
She's made too many bad choices. She's made too many bad choices. She can't be a hero.
Funny note, spoiler alert, in the comics, Jessica Jones marries Luke Cage, has his kid, and at one point actually leads a team of Avengers.
So yeah, look forward to maybe like at least some of that showing up because they already got a Luke Cage show. You know they're gonna develop.
I think they have so much chemistry.
The dude who played Luke Cage and her had so much chemistry.
I think the Defenders. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, that's what they're all leading up to. Yeah, these are all like their cinematic universe prequels to the Defenders.
Which I believe we're getting Luke Cage later this summer, and then Iron Fist is
September 30th.
Yeah, and we're already getting when's Doctor Strange coming out?
Doctor Strange comes out, I believe in July. Don't quote me. Do not quote me.
I want to see Doctor Strange.
That I think it's further out than that, right?
Yeah, because they are just doing the filming now.
It
might be further out then.
I think it's like May.
Yeah, it might be next year. Because we're in 2016 right now. The first Infinity Wars isn't until 2018. So yeah, I bet you're right. I think next year is going to be Doctor Strange.
Back to Jessica Jones. There's a lot of character development in that show that I thought was extremely well done, especially with Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Because the backstory holds true. You know, she did try to be a superhero. It really didn't work for her. And she became this, jaded bitch, you know? But
where the actress who plays her, what the hell is her name?
Kristen Ritter.
Kristen Ritter, yes. Those of you who might know her from her short stint on Breaking Bad.
Or that bitch in Apartment 23, which is a funny-ass show. I suggest watching that.
But yeah, she's actually a really good actress, and I was kind of impressed with like you said, she's trying to go back to being, trying to do the superhero thing, and it's
or just like trying to be normal. Yeah, I think she's trying her best to be normal when the show is starting off.
Yeah, but as the show progresses, she realizes she has to use her powers against certain people. I don't know exactly the bad guy's name would be in this. Jessica Jones.
That was Kilgrave.
Kilgrave. All right.
Which I love that they made fun of the name.
Oh, several times. Yeah. It is really an edgelord's kind of name.
But when you get the backstory of the character, you're like, yeah, he would be a little fucking edgelord.
Yeah.
But I was just like, by the end of the show, she gets to that point. And I believe it actually fades to black at the point where everyone's calling her and asking, like, hey, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Yeah. And they're not, like, her little private eye, you know, requests for help. They're like, we need somebody with abilities to help us here.
Yeah, because that was the main stint of her comic book, first comic book run, was pretty much her having a detective agency like this.
Yep.
And, like, there's little stuff, like, when they flash back to a point about mid-season to where Jessica did want to try out the hero stuff, and I forget the blonde's name now, the hot blonde, but...
Walker.
Yeah, Patsy. Patsy! She made a costume, and I forget the name they gave her.
Jewel.
And it's actually who she was at the comic books at one point in time. Yep. Like, there's so many little things.
She was never actually Jewel, except for in flashbacks, from what I remember.
Isn't that held true in a Netflix series that they only did it in flashbacks, only mentioned it, and I just loved how
and funny
they
note,
poo-pooed on that.
Patsy Walker in the comics is known as Hellcat.
Oh.
At one point, she married the son of Satan, who was the literal son of Satan.
I can see her coming back a lot more. I hope she does, because I love that actress. Not only was she such a great actress.
I was going to say, I believe this the producer of the show was talking recently about bringing her back for season two, and about how they do have more in store for Patsy in season two. So,
because they were building her up quite a bit, because I mean, you notice the training she was going through and her own inner struggle, and how much she beat herself up after she like just got tased once and fell like a normal person would.
I gotta bring him up, the minor bad guy from that season, the Patsy's one time boyfriend.
The fucking cop dude.
Yeah, he's a riff on a comic character called Nuke.
Oh, really?
Yep, who was a, I believe, a Captain America bad guy. But he also did stints with, like, Punisher, Daredevil, etc.
Makes sense to him. Who knows?
Will Sampson.
More of that ding-dong.
He is Will Sampson, real name, Nuke, real name being Frank Sampson.
Wikipedia
is a great thing.
Yes, it is. All right, now, with what little time we have left, the real meat and potatoes of this, Daredevil Season 2.
Oh my god.
Oh, you mean Punisher Origin?
Yeah.
Punisher Origin Season?
Because it was an amazing fucking season. Holy shit, that was so good.
I will admit, it was very, very condensed and cluttered.
They didn't juggle as much. They juggled just a bit too much. But season one pulled off better, but season two was still great. It was still
there were
great.
Parts where he walks into his apartment and is just sitting there all happy and shit, and then just fucking realizes Elektra's in the fucking room with him and drops a damn knife.
Like, that's usually so about how good. The kind of interwoven storylines, that's about how abrupt they go. From like a handful of episodes, like it goes so strong with the first four episodes, and then it kind of drops Punisher for a while and goes into Elektra, and then it drops Elektra after a little while, focuses more on Punisher, and then they only really interweave them more nicely near the end. And I know more than one person has mentioned that I forget her name, but her career change to journalist was just a little quick.
Yeah, Karen Page.
Yeah, they just kind of forced that a little bit. It was like
it was a little quick. I mean, I took it because, like, okay, I'm an editor in chief of a small website. If I saw somebody that had that well of an investigative skills and was already working with somebody who had put out a known good editorial or two, I'd be like, you can get a dark little room, start doing research. You're good at it.
I could see that to an extent, I guess.
It's just still pretty quick. I mean, they've had some interactions in the past. But
I think the only
reason
why...
There was so much going on in that season.
Yeah, I totally agree with the guys that was cluttered, but at the same time, like, I loved it. Like, it was never a dull episode. You always had something to look forward to.
And you had two major characters come in.
Oh, yeah. And like we talked about at the very beginning, before we really used to kick the thing off, fucking Punisher getting his own show, thank God.
It had to happen. I knew it was going to happen. I was hoping it would happen, and
the way
it
ended,
I knew it.
the way that the fucking this shit ended for season two, and him just fucking sniper rifle on his shoulder, see you around, Red. Better get your own show, you motherfucker.
Yeah, you better come back.
And I mean, like, the straight from the comic book scenes that they had, especially near the beginning of the season, fucking fighting on the rooftops.
Oh my god, it was
Punisher
so
having Daredevil locked up.
It's one of the things where it's like, it's Daredevil's show, but who else remembers that
Josh.
At home?
The one scene where he's got the revolver taped, duct taped to Daredevil's hand. That is directly from a comic.
Yes, it is. Like, there was so much dialogue and so much like this. It was literally some comic book panels brought to life.
That entire fight scene.
Really well.
But that entire fight scene where he's working his way down the stairs is fucking epic. Like, I literally watched that one fight scene like three times going, this is fucking awesome. Like,
you guys are making me want to watch this so bad.
Like, oh god, how about Punisher, Punisher's fight scenes within the prison?
Oh yeah. Oh Jesus. So brutal.
But dude, Daredevil walking through that hallway, whipping that chain into the fucking ceiling and smashing each light.
Season two, they finally give him the extendable billy club. With the tether between it.
And the dude even tells him, like, oh, I don't know, you can use it as a grappling hook, or it's like,
he actually does kind of, like, web swing with it.
It's like, it's literally an about time thing. It's like,
yeah, it's like,
fucking sweet.
Wow. It's like, it's almost like the first time you watch Superman with,
and he learned
Christopher
how to fly.
Reeve. Yeah, and he figured out how to fly, you're just like, god damn.
But yeah, dude, like, that entire fight scene where he's walking through the hallways and he's got Punisher's body knocked out in an elevator. He's just walking through the hallway, hitting every light with a fucking chain. It's just, oh my god. Such a good fucking scene.
And I love the fact they emphasize that he doesn't need light to fight.
Yeah.
Like, and now he has to kind of upgrade, like, I call this the Metroidvania season of Daredevil. Where he starts unlocking upgrades and training that gets him to higher levels.
Well, he gets the new helmet after fucking Punisher puts a bullet.
The new helmet, the Billy Club thing, being able to detect people outside of their heartbeats because of the hand storyline.
Yeah. And I love how they did that. The hand actually does resurrect people and have an army of basically undead ninjas.
Yeah, and like, I don't, and this is where I really don't know how well it's adhering to the comics, but like, I hear that it's kind of accelerated some things, but is there actually a storyline where the hand is trying to get Elektra for their Grand Poobah?
Yes, if I remember correctly.
Also, because I mean, it's really good. I like that.
Funny note, though, later on, Daredevil winds up being the leader of the hand.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was like a Daredevil goes bad storyline. And it turns out he's being influenced by some demon. It was a really bullshit ending.
If we have time, Jason, I would love to touch on who you guys think is all going to make an appearance in Infinity Wars.
I don't know if I have time for that kind of thing, man.
You're asking for a lot of speculation, brother.
Hell, I mean, I'll be good enough to say who I think might show up in Luke Cage. Because really, I don't fucking know. I'll admit, Luke Cage has never been something I knew much about.
I know Infinity
but I am all in had, for like, his own show after seeing him in Jessica.
Oh, yeah. Because,
holy shit. Like, I just... They get such good actors for all these characters.
Have you seen the teaser for it yet?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
Here's the next one after Luke Cage. Iron Fist.
Yep.
Yeah.
I admit I know nothing about Iron Fist.
You can't have Luke Cage without Iron Fist. That's like...
The heroes are higher, man.
Okay.
You gotta have the heroes for hire.
So that was there. Okay. That's apparently something I'm gonna have to do.
Dude, Iron Fist is basically like the karate master of the Marvel universe.
It's just gonna be kung fu fighting, man.
Yeah. Oh, hey, if Chuck Norris was a Marvel character, it'd be Iron Fist.
And I believe that the Game of Thrones kid's gonna be playing
Iron Fist, the guy that played Sarah Loras, yeah.
The Rose Knight, I believe, right?
Yep.
Like, I don't know about you all, I maybe only speak for myself here, but I'm a little more hype for the Netflix releases than I am for the Marvel releases. Not that or the movie releases are bad or anything like that, but I get you get so much more content in.
Yeah, I get that. I really do.
Duff.
It's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the movies, you can get like a really nice 3 hour or 2 to 3 hour chunk of like content. It's like, bam, they go satisfied for the most part. You get your money's worth. But the Netflix stuff, oh my God, it's just so good.
It's like you get 13 hours.
It's like they don't waste a second to me. They don't waste a second.
And like we were just talking about, the Daredevil season 2, about how every episode something was happening. It wasn't a dull, we're going to explain stuff to you episode.
Yeah. I mean, there's like 4 individual storylines, and each of them move a little further each episode.
Yeah, where your only complaint is it was just a tiny bit cluttered, but they still move them all forward perfectly well. That's a hell of a feat.
But now, coming out the other end, is Daredevil going to tie into Punisher show or vice versa?
Probably to some extent.
Please God, let it happen.
And honestly, I'm hoping for Daredevil season 3 because that ending with, you know, Nelson Murdoch splitting up.
Oh, I know.
That's so a perfect emotional intro for Frank Miller's Born Again run.
Now, like I was trying to ask before, do any of you guys happen to remember the Punisher's poem?
Just heard it today, but...
One batch, two batch, penny and dime.
Yeah.
And kudos to, I forget the wall. I didn't expect much from the Walking Dead actor.
Uh-huh.
Until I saw some stuff, and then I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, dude. It being Shane, I knew it was going to be great. Just because, like, the last fucking like few episodes of him in The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, man.
Yeah, those were pretty good.
He was a menacing figure towards the end there. He really was that, like...
Yes, he was.
He might kill Rick. This could be bad.
Look at this alpha male motherfucker over here.
It was crazy seeing him Daredevil with, like, blackened eyes on both sides and shit. And it was just like, damn, dude. Like... The entire time, I kept expecting him to be, like, the next episode for him to be all healed up, like, a couple days after court, and his eyes will all be all healed up, and he's back to normal. It's like, no, they kept him looking, like, black-eyed like a motherfucker for the entire course of the show.
Oh, I don't know if this reflects in the comics as well, but, like, during this point in time in Daredevil, Murdoch's coming off as a fucking asshole. I don't know if that was just me. But he was off as a huge fucking asshole.
He really was.
Like, he just doesn't know how to do the lawyer thing right now.
Like, I understand that he has his idea and his purpose, but it's like, can you not see, like, I'm talking about this motherfucker like he's real, but he can't see that he's fucking causing hurt to everybody, and I'm just screaming, tell her what you're doing! Don't you see what you're from? Just tell her what you're doing! She's a big girl she can handle, knowing Josh. You're Daredevil.
Josh, he can't see. He's blind.
Noise, you bastard.
I'm sorry, I couldn't pass it up.
But yeah, I mean, it does hold. He should have told Karen earlier. Except for those like me who know the comics that know eventually Karen sells out his identity to the Kingpin. So they're... Yeah, I mean, she becomes a junkie and sells him out for a fix.
No, hopefully they change that in the show. I don't want to hate her. I like her character.
Yeah.
Well, get ready to hate her, apparently. God damn it, Jason.
So they can change that. I don't care.
Retcon
yeah,
right now.
They can change that shit. It's a different universe than the comics. It's cool. It's all good.
Yeah, they don't need to follow the exact storylines. In fact,
if it's not going to be her, it'll be Foggy.
I don't think Foggy would go that far. And, like, he would have to be mind-controlled or, like, super seriously coerced.
Has Foggy never been, like, in the comics, has he, like, ever been okay with the Daredevil thing that he does? Or
I
the show, he seems pretty against it.
I will be honest with you, I do not like Daredevil comics.
Okay.
I don't read them much.
But the show sure has gone a long way to make you care about the character now, right?
Yeah, it's like I like the TV show version. I still kind of want to avoid the comic.
Sometimes that's not even the bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, like I said before, Daredevil, it's very, a lot of downer shit in Daredevil comics.
Very depressing, tragedy. Yeah.
Yes, it does get very depressing.
And that's the last thing I need in my life. Yeah, you know, a little bit run short, but I'm going to call it a day. So thank you guys for showing up.
I had no problem. Well, glad I could be on here for something that I could actually talk about.
No problem. I know I'm a little intoxicated. I'm sure I ranted a little bit too much.
No, but it's good. It's all good. But yeah, this has been Back Issues. Thank you all for listening, and hope you'll be around next time.